Sometimes I fall to my knees.
One of my top 25 favorite songs, I guess you could say, because I have a bunch of them. I actually put a request in for that song tonight. I was standing in my office today. I got a stand-up computer desk at my office, and I was standing there listening. Then that song come on 106.9 The Light or whatever station it was I had playing, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in everything that's going here, and whether it be stress at work or stress at home or sickness or whatever it is, but then when I just think about it, today could be the day that it's all fixed, that it's all made better, and, you know, we never know what day that's going to be, but I'm thankful that I know that one day Jesus is coming. Amen. One day I'm going to meet him, and all the things that we think are so troublesome here, all of those are going to be corrected in a matter of moments, and I'm looking forward to that day when that happens. If you want to, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John tonight, 1 John. But before we get started, we're going to go to a couple of different places first and maybe just have a little bit of conversation to begin with. I'm going to ask a question here in just a moment, and this is not rhetorical. I really would like a couple of people to answer. So I'll give you the opportunity while we're praying to think about your answer. Is how much how do I want to put it? Yeah, let's go with how much. How much do you love God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. We thank you for all of your many blessings that you've given us, God. And I know so many times that we try not to take those things for granted, God, but maybe we don't recognize them as much as we should, and we're not as thankful for them as we should be. And God, we ask you to forgive us for that and help us, God, to always give thanks in all things. And God, we know we got some people in our church right now going through some difficult times, some that have just had surgery and are healing, some that have been battling cancer, God, and I pray that you'll continue to bless them and bless the ones that are there with them, taking care of them and going through this battle with them. Strengthen them, God, emotionally, spiritually, and in all those ways. And then, God, that some that just are battling sicknesses of different kinds that maybe I don't even know exactly what they are or what they're going through, but I'm glad that you do. I pray that you'll be with them. I pray that you'll bless tonight as we get into your word, as we try to study together for just a few minutes tonight, that you'll help us, that you'll clear our minds of everything else. Thank you for this time of refuge that we have, this time to be together. God, I pray that you'll speak to us tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. God, we continue to pray for the ones that have been admitting by raising their hand that they're lost without you. And God, they haven't made that move yet. God, I pray that you'll touch them even where they're at right now. And God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, not a rhetorical question, and I won't call on anybody unless nobody answers, and then I'll call on somebody. But I want you to think about this, or give it, and this is not a trick question. It really isn't. I want you to think, because I hear people brag about how they love God. Or let's not use the word brag. I hear people declare how much they love God. So I want to ask the question tonight, and again, not rhetorical, but how much do you love God? Not enough. Not near enough. Not near enough. That's getting right down to it. Not near enough. That's where I'm at.
Josh, my devotion hit me straight in the face with that this morning. It was speaking about a famous race car driver and his son. And the son said that whenever he was in his dad's presence, he always wanted to please him. He always wanted to do to please him. And the devotion went on to say, how much more should we be concerned? God's with us all the time.
Amen.
How often am I concerned that I'm pleasing to my Heavenly Father?
Amen.
It should be more so than that son wanting to please his earthly father, but I'm not.
That's right. You're exactly right. Does anybody want to try to put into words how much that you love God? Anybody? All right, Eric, if you want to, go ahead.
I will, Josh.
Thank you.
I love him enough to believe 1 John 1:9, because I have definitely sinned, and then number 10 says, if you haven't, you're a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
And I have probably been a liar, know I've been a sinner.
Yeah.
But then I come back and believe him enough to restore me, forgive me, and so I love him enough to believe that that's true.
Yeah,
because
amen.
Because of proof of coming back to that, when I've sinned or walked away, that he's still there.
Amen. Good. Did that prepare you? Give you time, Eric, to prepare?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I have struggled going to church on Wednesday nights. At my previous church, because I love the preacher, but just wasn't getting anything out of it. And I just didn't know if I could find another church to where I could love to come and everything. And after about the third time I come here, I told Tonya, I said, let's start going on Wednesday nights. And I look forward to coming Wednesday nights as well as Sundays. And I'm thankful that God loved me enough to find us a place. I know this is probably not the answer you're looking for, but
I'm not looking for an answer. I'm
I
really
know,
not.
But
yep,
you know
yep,
what I'm
yep,
saying.
Yep.
I'm just thankful that God was able to restore that, because I'll be honest, I didn't know if I could find it again or not, because I just didn't care if I went to church or not. As far as Wednesday night, I went on Sunday because I felt like I had to, and I feel like I've told y'all before, there's such pillars in this church.
I agree.
I feel, I was, you know, God knows that I've been struggling with things. And I just feel like when I come here, even though they may not be praying for me, I know God's here and I'm feeling it. And I'm just thankful that God loves me enough to put me where I need to be. And this is where I definitely need to be.
Amen. Amen. So next week you got Valentine's Day coming up on the 14th, and many of you are going to look at your special someone and you're going to say, I love you so much. Well, that's good, but how much? And it's hard to put into words, ain't it? It really is hard to put into words. Casey, how much do you love God?
Man, you know, there was a time in my life when I was about a step away from dying, you know, wasted, and He breathed new life into me. So I can't explain.
Amen.
I can't express it.
Good answer. James, how much do you love God? Easy now. No, you're doing good. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just playing.
That's the only way that we can even relate to
it. Yeah.
Is just to think of what all God's done for us and how grateful we are for it.
Yeah. Megan, how much do you love God? Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out. I mean, I can go keep going, but.
I know the same answer you're looking for, but I wish I could love God and Jesus as much as my youngest child does.
Yeah.
Through a child's eyes, there's no, just this morning she got up, she said, today's Wednesday, can we go to church? And I said, absolutely. She goes, yes. I wish I was that excited.
Yes. Let's look for just a second in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. And let's see what the Bible says about how much we're supposed to love God. Matthew 22 and 37. And the Bible says in verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. As we look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37 tonight, and we see how God, or how Jesus instructs us to love God, don't think there's any of us in here tonight that would stand up and boast and say, I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind. As the Bible instructs us, I believe we all have a desire to love Him like that, but we find that we fall short of that love. We find that maybe we don't know how to put into words how much that we love God. We don't know how to say how much that we love God, even though that I truly believe in our hearts and in our minds that we do find ourselves in Matthew 22 and verse number 37, and we know that we owe God that much love, that God deserves that kind of love. That if we were to love God the way that God instructs us to love Him, that our lives would even be better than they are now. But George brought some stuff out Saturday at the men's prayer breakfast, and I just haven't been able to get away from it. I've read it two or three times this week and went back to it, and the conversation there was in about God's love. So let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Let's read a little bit in verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So not only how much do we love God, but why do we love God? We can find that right here in verse number 9 of why that we love God. And if we try to describe the ways that we love God and the reasons that we love God, sometimes maybe that would be a little easier answer. Oh, I love God because. I love God because he has done this for me, and I know that he has done that. Matter of fact, let's turn to Psalms chapter number 116, if you will. Psalms chapter number 116. And Lance probably got it on the screen for us. Or, hey, Shannon. Shannon made it in. So, Psalms chapter 116, verse number 1. I love the Lord because. See, when you stop there with that word, I love the Lord because, then we all could fill in that blank and we could put some stuff in there. Well, because he saved me. Well, because he gave me a good family. Because he gave me this and that, and he's done this and that. And listen to what the psalmist says here. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death come past me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I'm good at finding that myself. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. See, look, when you see this, if you go back and you fill back in the blank, I love the Lord because gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. I can see reasons why I love God. It's hard for me to say how much I love God, but I can see reasons and say reasons why I love God. But let's continue reading now over in 1 John chapter number 4. In verse number 9, we see this, and his love was manifested toward us. It was shown to us in that because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As we look at these verses in 1 John chapter number 4, it's not really amazing to me that you couldn't find the words to tell me how much that you love God. It's not amazing to me tonight that you love God. It doesn't amaze me at all that you're here on a Wednesday night because you love God. Because I'm glad that we're here tonight. I'm glad that we have this opportunity. I'm not saying that everyone that's not here doesn't love God, but they should love him enough to be here on Wednesday night if they possibly can. I know I'm picking a little bit, but as we look at that, it doesn't amaze me that you love God, but what amazes me is that God loved us. Look, we see here in verse number 10, it says, herein is love. It's not a description of love. It's not a definition of love. It's not even a count of how much love or why there is love when we talk about our love towards God. It doesn't amaze me that you love God so much that you can't describe it. It doesn't amaze me that you have reasons that you love God. But what amazes me tonight is that we find in verse number 10, herein is love, not that we loved God. That's not amazing. That's not something that just blows my mind. But here's what blows my mind. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why in the world God loved me, I cannot comprehend it. Why in the world God would want a relationship with me in so much that he would send his only begotten Son to come and go through the death on a cruel cross as he did there at Calvary. Why in the world God would love me that much when I look and I say, well, how much do you love God? And we can't put into words how much that we love God. Can I tell you tonight that God didn't just put it into words, but he put it into action how much that he loves you. He says, I love you so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want to say how much do I love God? I don't know, but I can show you how much God loves me. He wanted a relationship so badly with me that he allowed his only son to come and give his life on a cross to be my propitiation, my instead of me being found guilty of my sins, instead of me being guilty of the shame of my sins, he sent his son to die on a cross and shed his blood to show me how much that he loves me. Man, how wonderful that is tonight. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Even if we were able to stand here tonight and say, well, this is how much that I love God. I love God so much that I have surrendered my whole life to him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we should be able to say that. And if you could say, well, I love God so much that I gave up everything for God. If you say that I love God so much that I follow every commandment that he has. If you said that I love God so much that I give all of my time, all of my financial resources, I give it all to God. Still, that is not what is amazing to me, but what is amazing is how much God loved us. That's what's amazing tonight. How in the world God could look at us and each and every one of us. I know that there is some good people in our church. I like Eric bragging on the church because I love this place. I'm so thankful for this place. I know I've told this many times, but I come here with the intent of preaching a few messages and moving on my way and saying, I hope y'all enjoyed it. Have a good day. Have a good time. Love you. I hope the best for you. But God placed a love in my heart for this place that I can't explain. And for the people that I can't explain, I love this place. I'm excited to get to come to the house of the Lord. And here lately, I've had even more excitement about being in the house of the Lord. I don't want to miss. I don't want to. If I had vacation right now, I'd probably wait till after church on Sunday to leave because I'm scared to death to miss what God may do in our service right now. But when I look into God's word, it's not amazing that I love him, but it's amazing that he loved me. I love him so much. But you know, even when I can't put that into words, and even if I could say all of those things that I've given up everything for God, it still would not equal up to how much that God loved me. We have an amazing God tonight. When I think about Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, very simple scripture, and many of you know it by heart, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, see, you know, he didn't wait for you to be a good person. He didn't wait for you to be a good church goer. He didn't wait for you to begin to pay your tithes and to dress like somebody and act like somebody and calm down and quit being wild and all those things. He said, while you were at your worst, he said, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to know how much God loved you? He loved you in your worst condition so much so that he gave his only son, and that Jesus Christ died for you in your worst condition. Now, you go out here and you think about the people that you see around, or you think about the crime that you hear about, and you think about the worst people that you can think of. Would you die for them? Would you give your son or your child for them? God did that for us. It's not amazing that I love him. It's amazing that he loves me. Because sometimes we forget either who we were, who we could have been, or really and truly who we are. Because we come in here, and I can put on a good front, right? I have texted some guys over the past few days and just, hey, just praying for you, some young guys in our church. And I told you I'm learning to use Snapchat. I'm getting hip. So I sent some snaps and was just like, hey, I sent a few verses of scripture, and a couple of them have responded back to me and saying, man, you just don't know how hard it is to live a Christian life. And I'm like, oh, yes, I do know how hard it is to live a Christian life. Just because I stand behind this pulpit, just because I bring my Bible to church, just because I've studied and prepared a message and done my best to be where God wants me to be, that doesn't mean that I don't fight spiritual battles. That doesn't mean that I don't fight my flesh. That doesn't mean that temptation doesn't come my way and the devil try to put stuff in my life. That doesn't mean any of that. It takes every single ounce in me every single day, and then it's past me because I have to turn it over to God and say, God, I can't live this. You're going to have to live it for me. That's where it's at. But it takes every bit of that every single day, and it still doesn't amaze me that I love him. It amazes me that he loves me, because I still fall, and I still come short, and I still fail. And you know what? Even though I can come here and stand behind a pulpit, and I can carry my Bible, and I can shake your hand, and I can say all of the right things, and I can say all of the Christian things, I still know who I am on the inside. And you say, well, preacher, are you trying to say that? No, I'm saying that all man, all flesh is evil. All of us. But yet God loved us so much that he allowed Jesus Christ to come and die for us. But God commended his love toward us. And see, y'all get to see me at my best. But even at my best, I still know who I could have been, who I was, and who I truly am. I see me. When I look into the mirror, when you see me physically. You see whatever interpretation you have of me, you see whatever. But when I look into the mirror, I see and I know who I really am. And you know who else knows that? God does. But yet he loved me. Why? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But let's continue reading, since I had to stop James. Look over here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. You'd think he was reading ahead. We love him. See, I don't ever want to be one of those people. I'm not throwing off on anyone, ever. But sometimes there are people that want to be a little bit over the top about how much they love God. But the only reason I love God is because he first loved me. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. That when you go back and you read the scripture and you see that even before the foundations of the world, that there was a sacrifice prepared for our sin, that God knew who we were going to be, that God knew that there was going to be a fall, that God knew there was going to be sin, that God knew you couldn't be perfect, that God knew that even after you were saved, you couldn't live a perfect life, and that you were going to need to continually go and ask for forgiveness of your sin to keep your relationship right with God, that even though God knew all of that, still yet he put the plan in place for you to have a relationship with him. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you brought somebody in here tonight and you said, Josh, I want to introduce you to someone, and they're going to be really good in this church for just a little while, and then they're going to stab you in the back, and then they're going to do stuff to tear this place apart, and then they're going, I'd say, listen, I don't want a relationship with them. Just go somewhere else. But what did God do with us? He said, I know, and still yet I love you. Man, what an amazing love that God shows us. And when you look at it, I can look and say, how much do I love God? Why I love God? But can I give you one reason why God loved me? Not one. Not one. Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. And preacher, I do this and I do that. I dare say that still on the inside of each and every one of us, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. So I think that every single one of us still battle the flesh in some shape, form, or fashion. I used to sit, there was a guy there, his name was Claude Tickle. He was a deacon, might have been the chairman deacon at Fancy Gap when we went there. And I think I was about 10 years old when Daddy started pastoring there. And Claude was one of those guys that, I mean, he was solid. He was, you never saw anything different. He was always a man of God every time that you saw him. And I remember hearing him pray for the first time that he prayed, and, you know, I was Like I said, I think I was 10 when I went there, but somewhere around my 13, 14, 15, I started paying a little better attention when Claude prayed. And I remember hearing, the first time that I remember hearing it when he prayed, Claude said, "God, forgive me for when I fail you, and help me to walk closer with you tomorrow than I did today." And I'm like, dude, if you walk any closer, you're going to be in heaven with him. I mean, that's just, I'm like, I'm 15 years old. I'm struggling. If this guy is struggling, and if this guy is praying to walk closer with God, then I'm so far away from God, there's no hope for me. But then I've realized as I've gotten a little older, is it never changes, does it? The struggle may change, the type of struggle, the thing that gives you a problem may change, but it's just always a struggle to be what God wants us to be. But I'm thankful that I got a God that loves me through it and don't send me packing. It's not amazing that I love God. It's amazing that God loves us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know this was a simple thought tonight, but I just could not get past it. God, I want to thank you tonight as we're all sitting here together. I believe that I'm sitting in a room full of believers, of people that love you, of people that we can't find the words to describe how much that we love you. And God, of people that appreciate the fact that you loved us, even though that we're unworthy, that you loved us even in our sin. And God, that you allowed Jesus Christ to come and be that propitiation for our sins. God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. Help us to show our love for you as we go from day to day, that others may come to know Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.